Pope Francis once described the church. He compared it to that of a field hospital where people come to receive healing. And when I heard that, I realized how true that was, because all of us are in need of healing. And that's the role the church plays in this world today. People come here not only to receive the sacraments, but to be healed so that they might fight the good fight. And everybody is welcome here. Now, if I was to ask you where the best place for a child to grow up is, we might agree that the best place would be for a child to grow up in a family with a mother and a father who strive not only to fulfill the vows that they exchanged when they got married, but also to do the best to raise their children in the ways of our faith. That would be the ideal, but we know from our own experiences that that's not the role. That's not what really happens in day-to-day life. But the best place for that child to grow up would be in a family with a mother and father, a faith-filled family. And even in those circumstances, things aren't always perfect. And unfortunately, the family as God meant it to be is under attack. I think we could agree on that too. And it's for that reason that the church instituted the feast that we celebrate today, the Feast of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. The primary purpose of this feast is to present to us a model for all families. Mary and Joseph trusted in God and lived holy and righteous lives. Despite all the challenges that they faced, they never lost their faith. Jesus, the Son of God, displayed humility, being obedient not only to God, but also to Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his foster father. The church holds them up today for examples for us to strive to. And we know that we fall short of that as parents and even as children. The family is the basic building block of a society. The family plays a fundamental role in teaching a child not only how to walk and how to talk, but also what is and isn't acceptable behavior. And if you destroy the family, which is what we're seeing today in the world, and it's been going on for thousands of years, this isn't new, but if you destroy the family, you destroy the society. It breaks down. Now, the ideal family, a good family that practices their faith, is not only the basic building block of a society, but also, if they're a Catholic family, if they're a Christian family, they're a building block of the body of Christ, the church. And if you destroy that family, not only does society suffer, but also the church, the body of Christ, suffers. God intended marriage and families to be a most fruitful source of individual benefit and of public welfare. There's two sides to a family. It supports individuals who participate in that family, and it helps build the society. Not only was marriage instituted for the propagation of the human race, but also that the lives of the husbands and the wives might be made better and happier. And that was the plan. That was God's plan. Marriage. This comes about in many ways where the parents might be happier. By the easing of each other's burdens through mutual help, by their consent, by their constant and faithful love. by having all their possessions in common and by the heavenly grace that flows from the sacrament itself. Marriage also can do much for the good of families, for so long as a marriage is conformable to the nature and in accordance with the counsels of God, it has power to strengthen union of heart in the parents, to secure the holy education of children, to temper the authority of a father by the example of divine authority, and to render the children obedient to their parents. From such marriages as these, the society may rightly expect citizens animated by a good spirit and filled with reverence and love for God. Citizens that recognize it is their duty to obey those who rule justly and lawfully, to love all and to injure no one. Strong marriages and families make for a strong society and a strong country. Today, the relationship and the definition of family is being challenged on all sides, and society is losing entirely the meaning of family as we find a growing desire to redefine both the natural and the divine law and replace that with human law. We must not be distracted or misled. Instead, we are challenged to continue to encourage the basic truths, the basic realities, the basic definition of a family as a mother, a father, and children. We know that's not always the case, but that's the ideal. We are challenged to support the definition of marriage as being between a man and a woman. We know that's not always the case, but that's the ideal. And always as a sacrament in a sacred bond, marriage must always be seen as a sacrament and a sacred bond lived out in Jesus Christ and in His church. That's the ideal. And we know we fall short of that. We all, like I said, we need healing, we need compassion, we need help. But the church must speak with one voice. It must support, defend, and protect not only the family, but also the definition of marriage and the dignity of life from conception to natural death. That's the other thing, besides being that field hospital in the world today. The church is the voice in the world today of Jesus Christ. And each of us must take that message out into the world. We must speak with one voice. Perhaps today, more than ever before, we need to get back to the basics. I didn't grow up in the perfect home. The memory that comes to mind, and I'm almost ashamed to admit this sometimes, I can remember my mother standing over me and beating me. I didn't grow up in a perfect home. And I turned out hopefully normal. But my point being, we all come from broken homes. Those of us that didn't come from a broken home, you don't know how blessed you are. Or maybe you do. Maybe you appreciate that. I grew up in a very poor home. There was no thought of new clothes or toys under the tree at Christmas time or a college education. But I took what I was given, and I didn't stop there. I knew the only hope for me was to leave that home. I joined the military with my parents' signature. I was that young. And for 20 years, I spent growing, learning in the military. I got my first bachelor's degree, my first master's degree, my second master's degree. But when I left the military, I wanted to give back to God. So instead of going on for a PhD, I went to the diaconate. Because through all that hard times during my growing up, I felt the sense that God was there with me. So I'm saying, we know the ideal might be a good and loving home with a mom and a dad, brothers and sisters, but that's not the case. But we can't compromise the truth just because reality does not match the truth. We can't compromise it. We have to fight for it. So today, more than ever before, we need to get back to the truth. I know from personal experience that the best place for a child to grow up is in a family. I had a mother and father, so let me caveat that with a loving mother and father. A Christian family, perhaps, with a mother and father who fulfill their duties and responsibilities as Christian parents, who are, by their actions and their words, the first teachers of our faith to our children. We must support single and divorced parents because we know that's a reality in our world today. We have to support orphans, and we have to encourage those couples who have turned away from the church and just lived together. We have to encourage them to come back and to rethink what they're doing, not only for their own good, for their eternal salvation, but also for their children. We must speak the truth with not only conviction, but with love and compassion. This is the challenge we face today. Let us give thanks to God always, but let us give thanks to God today for the Holy Family and the model that it provides each of us. And let us try to imitate the best we can those virtues that are best for the children that are growing up in those challenging marriages today. Let us try and imitate the Holy Family in our own family lives. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.